Okay, Genesis chapter 4. You're going to want your Bibles on this one to follow. Because it'll get confusing if you don't. Alright, we're talking about Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel. Alright. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll kick into gear. Dear God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you so much for every person that came this morning. I thank you, God. I pray that you would just walk with us, be in this room, show us your word, help us to listen, and really, really become addicted to your word, and just more in love with you, God. I pray that people would just realize the truth and change in their hearts, God. In your name I pray. Amen. Alright, Genesis chapter 4. Okay, how many of y'all have NIVs? For the most part, everyone? No, NIV. Okay, let's go ahead and read because we gotta go. Genesis 4. And Adam lay with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. Okay, if you have King James Version, it says, and Adam knew his wife. That's kind of like, you know, wink, wink. It's the Bible. It's subtle, but actually it means over and over and over again. So it's not just she gets pregnant and has Cain. This is over, she has Cain, and then more and more and more to come. It's not just one kid. Does that make sense? So we have lots of people that are getting populated on the earth. She says, with the help of the Lord, I brought forth a man, and later she gave birth to his brother Abel. See, later on. So we have Cain, and we have Abel in the narrative. Now Abel kept the flocks, and Cain worked the soil. Okay, this is important. So we have who? Cain and Abel. Abel worked what?
Flocks.
Now, flocks here, it's most likely a 10-to-1 ratio of sheep and goats. For every 10 sheep, there's a goat. That's important because when we get to Revelation and God, the judgment, he talks about how he shifts, or not shifts, but he separates the goat and the sheep. It's 10-to-1. Okay? And so you have, among the believers, you have someone who's a non-believer, and they shifted. Yeah, okay. And Cain, what's he do? What's Cain do? Vegetables. I totally don't know how to spell that. That's really sad. I have it written down. Veggie tables. Hey, John.
You spell it wrong, but
that's what I know. I know, I'm a horrible spiller. Okay. So, just on the side note, we had the canned food drive thing this morning, right? And so, I have a lot to carry in. And I get my little cans in my little bag, and I get out of the car, and the bag just rips. And all my cans just go across the parking lot. I just see them scatter and roll. And I'm so sad this morning. But I got them. It was okay. Okay, I'll come back. No, it's not random. I'll come back to that in a minute. Verse 3. In the course of this time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Okay, we have an offering to God. This is nowhere in the narrative, I gotta be careful what I say, nowhere in the narrative is this a sacrifice for sins. Okay? It's an offering of worship. Alright? That's important. Does that make sense? So what does Cain bring?
Vegetables!
Alright, he brings his little cans. Maybe he had a better time bringing them than I did. And what's Abel bring? It says, Verse 3, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, but Abel brought the fat portions from some of his firstborn flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel's offering, but on Cain's his offering, he did not look with favor. So, what does Abel bring? Flocks. Okay. Why did God accept Abel's, but not Cain's? Carnivore, okay.
He gave his best.
Okay, good. In verse 3, what's it say? It says, in the course of some time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of his firstborn flocks. It's not because God wanted a animal sacrifice offering. This is a worship offering. It's not a sacrifice for sin. It's not because Abel brought a sheep and Cain didn't. Because we learn in Leviticus, I think it's Leviticus 6, 14 through 21, fruit would actually go alongside with the sacrifice, and fruit was acceptable as an offering to God. Does that make sense? So it's not because it's vegetables. Now, this morning was rough. This morning when... Okay, I got my cans. My dad told me to go underneath the... We store all our cans underneath their bed, so in our guest bedroom. So I went underneath, and I pulled out the cans, right? And there's a huge Tupperware. So I bring the Tupperware. I was all happy that I'm going to bring my cans this morning. So we get down there, and my mom is like, why are you bringing cans? Well, I told her for the food drive. And she looks at them, and she says, Sean, you can't bring these. And I was like, why? They're cans. I mean, what's the difference between those and the ones we have in our cupboard? She says, well, these expired in 2001. And I was like, cans don't expire. What are you talking about? And I looked at it and says, best if by 2001. It's like 5 years ago. And she's like, you can't bring these. Same thing. My dad was just trying to get rid of cans. It's really sad, actually. But same thing with Abel. Abel brought the worst of his food that he had. Cain brought the worst and Abel brought the best. Does that make sense? Do you have something?
No.
Okay. Verse 6. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door and it desires to have you, but you must master it. Okay. 1 Peter 5:8 says, Satan crouches around like a roaring lion, waiting to see whom he may devour. Same thing here. God says, sin is at your door. You gotta be aware of that. Jesus also says, watch and pray. What's that mean when it says watch and pray? Well, be aware of where sin is in your life. Be aware and pray and make sure you have your guard up constantly. Does that make sense? Okay. Y'all look at me like, what in the world are you talking about? Yes. Okay. Verse 8. Now Cain said to his brother, let's go out into the field. And while they were out in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Okay, so Cain says, hey Abel, let's go out in the fields. Cain works in the fields, so he knows where everything is. Maybe Abel doesn't. So Cain takes him out, and it says attacked. The attacked is actually means ripped limb from limb, basically like an animal. Okay? It's the same what you would use as a lion attacking something. So Cain takes him out in the fields and he just like goes at him and just like kills him basically. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? Remember in Genesis 3 when God says, where are you, Adam? He's playing human here. It's like, you know, when you play hide and seek, you know where they are, but you ask anyway. Same kind of thing here. He says, and Abel, he says, where is your brother Abel? I do not know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? The answer is yes, you are your brother's keeper. We're going to watch out for one another. The Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground, and you are under a curse. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. And when you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you, and you will be a restless wanderer on the earth. God says, listen, can't you hear his blood crying out? Can't you see what you've done? One of the things is, write this down. You guys have got to write this down, because we're going to keep this throughout the entire rest. We're going to look at this throughout the entire rest of the year. I'm going to give you a definition of sin. It's probably one that you've not heard of. This is like a really good definition of sin. It is a condition of separation and alienation from God, which reveals itself in the stupid things we do. That's in layman's terms. And the stupid things we do. Let me go, I can read that. Sin, it's a condition in separation, condition of separation and alienation from God, which reveals itself in the stupid things we do. When Adam sinned, what happened? He was immediately separated from God. Okay? Also, you need to write this down. This is the format of sin. We have 1, 2, 3, and 4. 4 effects of sin. 1, it starts small. Cain, he was angry. Angry with Abel. It started small, eventually led to murder. What's Jesus say? He says, if you hate your brother, it's the same as committing murder. If you lust, it's the same as committing adultery. Why? Start small, and then it leads us to the second point. Always gets bigger, unless dealt with. Always gets bigger. Start small, always gets bigger, and then what? Leads to death. Abel was killed. And we'll see eventually that Cain will die. Leads to death. But the final one, one that we miss so much, is it cascades through generations. And I will show you what we mean in a minute. We will see it over and over and over and over again in the Scripture. Someone sins. It starts small, gets bigger, leads to death, and their kids and their kids and their kids and their kids suffer because of it. It's the same way. The odds of a person coming to know Christ who is not from, who's from a horrible family, who's not, who is alcoholic, etc., etc., drugs, the odds of that person, that son coming to Christ is very, very slim compared to a Christian family. Why? Sin cascades to generation. I'll show you what I mean in a minute. Okay, I'm going to suggest to you that Cain is about 400 years old when he kills his brother. Now, why I say 400, that's just a guess. But his point is, he's pretty old when he kills him. I'll show you what I mean. Adam lives to be 900 years old. 930. So, they lived a long time back then. Why do I say that? It's because Cain says to the Lord, verse 13, my punishment is more than I can bear. Do you notice that it says his punishment, not his sin? He was sorry that he got caught rather than sorry for what he did. My punishment is more than I can bear, and today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Whoever finds me, who is that? Cain's other brothers and sisters. We see that they're, we learned in the first part that they're not the only ones being born. Adam and Eve are having lots of kids. So, his other brothers and sisters will kill him, and then we'll read further on. It says, but the Lord says, not so, for if anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance 7 times over. Underline that word 7. We'll come back to that. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain, and so that no one who found him would kill him. And Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. And Cain lay with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. And then Cain was building a city, and he named it after his son Enoch. Cain goes out. He builds a city. We see in just this couple of verses, Cain builds a city. That's him, between him and his wife alone. That's major, that's population growth, like gerbil extreme here. We have lots of kids being born. If they can, just those two people can build a city, you have all these other brothers and sisters, it makes sense that there's lots of people on the earth at this time. Y'all with me? And people always say, well, what about incest? Well, genetically, it wouldn't make a difference. The gene pool hasn't been destroyed in this time. Nowadays, that's like, you know, you get six toes and five eyes if you marry your brother and sister, your kid does. But back then, scientifically, it wouldn't have been a big deal because the gene pool hadn't diluted. The gene pool hadn't diluted the way it is today. Make sense? So it makes sense that he's older than, you know, 30 years old. Y'all with me? Okay. Okay. Verse 19. Lamech. Oh, hold on. Notice that he names his city what? What's he named the city? Enoch. You're supposed to name, in the Jewish culture, you name your kid after your father, basically. And he names his kid Enoch. We haven't seen an Enoch in the narrative at all. Why doesn't he name him Adam or something related to God? Because he's getting further and further and further away from God. Does that make sense? Okay. Let's see. To Enoch was born Irid, and Irid, blah, 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 and blah, blah. Skip down to verse 19. Lamech married two women, one named Adah and the other Zillah. Underline Lamech. He's very important. Let's see. And Adah gave birth to Jabal, and he was the father of those who lived in tents and raised livestock. How would you like that reputation? Well, my dad lives in tents and feeds livestock. It's kind of funny that that's all he is in the whole Bible. It's all, yeah, okay. Verse 21, his brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all who played the harp and the flute. And Zillah had the son, Tibbekane, who forged irons and tools out of bronze and iron. Tibbekane's sister was Naham. And Lamech said to his wives, all right, Lamech is the sixth generation down from Cain, okay? What's the final point? Cascades through generations. So six generations later, from Cain, Cain's already croaked, he's gone. Six generations down, we have Lamech. And what's Lamech say? He says to his wives, not only does he have one wife, he has two. That's not the way God made it in the beginning. That's going against God, okay? Adah and Zillah, listen to me. Wives of Lamech, hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times. So basically, he just killed a guy for hurting him. Basically, if you would wink at this guy, he would kill you kind of thing. This guy was the worst guy we've seen in the narrative yet. What's he say? If Cain is avenged seven times, remember God says, I will avenge them seven times. Remember that? In the beginning when I told you to underline that? He says, well, me, 77 times. Flip over to Matthew 18. Real fast, we got to hurry. Matthew 18, verse 21. This makes total sense, what Jesus says now. He says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? But Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Jesus studied the scripture. He knew about Cain and Lamech. He knew that this would make sense to Peter. Peter comes and says, Lord, how many times should I forgive him? Seven times? And Jesus says, no, 77 times. You're supposed to forgive him. Why that number? Why pick 77? It makes sense with the narrative in Genesis 4 that Lamech says, well, I'm 77 times avenged. Jesus says, no, forgive him 77 times. The point is, it's a large amount of number. Does that make sense? Okay. Verse 25. We saw at the beginning of Genesis chapter 4, Adam lay with his wife. Adam knew his wife. What do we see at the end? We've seen this over and over and over again. Adam lay with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth. That poetry, again. Did y'all catch that? It's beginning to go through each chapter of Genesis. We have the poetry at the beginning and the end. So here we have it again. Adam lay with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son named Seth, saying, God has granted me another child in place of Abel since Cain killed him. Seth also had a son, and he named him Ishnosh. And at that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. Underline that last part. At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. What does that mean? that obviously doesn't mean that people began to worship the Lord, because we already see it in the first part, that they're worshiping God. Close. Closer. Pray. They're still praying to Him. What does that mean? The word call, it means proclaim. It means teach. Here we have, in Genesis chapter 4, the first glimpse of witnessing to people. Telling others about God. There's lots of people on the earth. This is the first time. In Genesis 4, we have people sharing faith. Sharing, preaching, teaching, telling others about the God that created them. That's pretty cool that we have that in Genesis 4. That's what that verse means. Okay, we have got to get through chapter 5. You guys are going to follow with me. Verse 5. This is the written account of Adam's line. When God created man, He made him in the likeness of God, and He created them male and female and blessed them. And when they were created, He called them man. So, we learned that in Genesis 1. Okay. It says right there that He created male and female in God's own image. Okay. Now, you guys have to follow with me really close on this one, because this is... Next week, we're going to talk about this. And if you miss next week, you don't want to miss it, because we talk about Noah. Seriously, you don't want to miss next week. We have Adam in the image of God. Right? Yes? We have Seth in Adam's image. And if Seth is in Adam's image, then Seth is what? Image of God. So we have every single person after Adam in the image of God. So, this is really important, because in chapter 6, verse 1, you will not understand that unless we cover this, that Adam, or Seth, is God's son. Not God's son, but in the image of God, right? So, Seth is called the sons of God. Adam's line is called the sons of God. We'll write that down, and we'll come back to that next week. I don't have time to do it. And Adam lived 130 years, or no, verse 5, and Adam lived 930 years, and then he died. This is a genealogy. In a Jewish genealogy, the last person in the genealogy is the most important. The last one is the most important. So the last one in this one is Noah. So we have, just look down, verse 8, Seth died. Verse 11, Enosh died. Verse 14, Kenan died. Verse 17, Malham died. Verse 20, Jared died. What do we see? We're walking through a graveyard. Everyone is dying. Why? Because of death. Because of the thing that first entered in Genesis chapter 3. So, look at verse 21. When Enoch lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. And altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, but wait, he was no more, because God took him away. And then we go back to the graveyard. Verse 27, Methuselah died. Verse 31, Lamech died. Why was Enoch taken away? Because he walked with God. We don't have time. Hebrews 11, let me read this to you. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. And he could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was condemned as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So we have, just like Elijah, Enoch was taken up to be with God and never died. Because he walked, his relationship with God was so deep. Wouldn't that be amazing to have a relationship with God? That cool? That would be amazing. Alright, we're going to pray and get out of here. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, God, for each person that came. I pray that they would have just understood something about your word, and that they would love you more because of it. Please bless them this morning. Bless them in their studies and everything they have to go through throughout the day. And you're in our prayer. Amen.